Well, today, this morning, I want to preach on the topic of giving thanks, and it's from an unusual book for this topic. You know, normally, Nehemiah and Ezra, you would look for topics of building, of church building, of dedication, of humility, and servant leadership. But I want us to see from Nehemiah that we are to give thanks in all circumstances of life. When it comes to Thanksgiving and gratitude, normally preachers will look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, and that verse is, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." But this morning, let's take a look firstly at Nehemiah 12 and verse 31, just to give us context of what's happening in this Thanksgiving procession and dedication procession. You see, while they were dedicating the wall, there were two groups of people, two companies of people marching on the wall. We're told in verse 36 that Ezra the scribe went before. He led one of the groups that marched south towards the dung gate. And then the other group, it says in verse 38, I went after them. That was Nehemiah, led them. He led this group northward towards the fish gate. And so one group was walking and marching upon the wall clockwise around Jerusalem. The other was marching in the other direction. And so verse 31, I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. And so the dung gate, just to give us a geographical location, was the most southern tip of the city of Jerusalem near the pool of Siloam. And this is the place, as the name suggests, is where all of the sewage and the garbage was brought through. It was brought through this gate and then down to the valley of Hinnom to the garbage heap that was to be burned. And so it's a place that would be, you know, like your garbage room in your condo or whatever. It's an unpleasant place to be most of the time. Well, here they were heading down upon the wall in this direction, giving thanks to God. They were going down towards the dung gate, and then they were going to go around, make their rounds to the fountain gate, to water gate, the horse gate, to the east gate, to the sheep gate, and then to the fish gate and the old gates all around the city of Jerusalem. Well, this morning, if we would take each one of these gates through which these people walked upon or entered and left the city as stations in life, then no matter which station you are, you find yourself today, the old gate, or we need to be giving thanks. You see, God allows us through different circumstances of life, the wall of life, and as we travel around it, God wants us to see that we are to truly give thanks. Nehemiah was a builder, a man who had a vision, as we saw in Nehemiah chapter 1, a vision and a compassion for Jerusalem and God's people. And in 52 days, that vision was accomplished. Through the time of the 52 days, there was much opposition. You see, in chapters 2 and 4, Sanballat and Tobiah, they would yell out words of discouragement to Nehemiah and the folks. In Nehemiah 4 and verse 3, Tobiah yells out, you know, if a fox go up on it, this wall, he shall even break down their stone wall. Well, we find in chapter 12, Nehemiah said to, you know, let's get a group of people, a large company of them, and let's get up on this wall. And we see that the wall didn't come down. They were praising God as they went around and praising God. And in every circumstance of life, we are to give thanks. You know, there are days when you wake up and you know that, you know, it's not going to be a good day. There are days when you get to school or work and you realize, well, you just forgotten your computer charger at home. You already know it's not going to be a good day. Maybe you've woken up and there's a flat tire in the morning that you discovered, and you know it's not going to be a good day. when I was commuting back and forth from Western Reformed Seminary in Tacoma, Washington, in the morning I would check to see if the highway had any accidents, because I knew if there was an accident that morning, the backlog would last and endure to the evening when I left in the late afternoon. And so I knew right that instance from the morning, if there was an accident, well, it wasn't going to be a good day. Well, you know, you aren't going to have a good day when these kind of things happen. But the Bible says that we are to give thanks in every situation. In looking at the book of Daniel, he was realizing in chapter 6 and verse 10, realizing, as it says, that David prayed and he gave thanks unto God as he did aforetime. What we realize here is that when it says aforetime, David had a habit of praying. And so you know the story of Daniel where there was a decree that he was not to pray, or the people were not to pray. But yet he found himself praying in these times, and he continued to pray. You and I need to realize that what we do in the good times of our life will reflect what we do in the troubling times of life. And so do we give thanks, not only in the good times, but also in the troubling times? Now in Nehemiah chapter 12, at the beginning we have a list of names, more than we have just read, that were involved in the rededication and thanksgiving, which is a reminder to us that God remembers those who are thankful. And then in Nehemiah 12 and verse 8, it mentions a man by the name of Mattaniah. Verse 8, moreover, the Levites, Jeshua, Binui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, Mattaniah, which was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren. Well, Mattaniah and his group, they were in charge of thanksgiving. You know, when it comes to the Thanksgiving holiday this year, or perhaps when you're thinking back last year in October, or any special occasion of the year, for the matter of fact, some of you would like to be in charge. You like to determine, well, today or this holiday, we're going to have turkey and cranberry sauce. I remember one year in our family, someone wanted a Chinese Thanksgiving, and so we got barbecue duck instead. Well, Mattaniah and his brethren, they were in charge of thanksgiving, or giving thanks. They had to always have a mind of gratitude and thankfulness in order to do this. And we too ought to be like Mattaniah and his brethren in being in the spirit of thanksgiving. Well, you might be here this morning and you're saying, well, I am having some difficulties. Having difficulties at work, having difficulties at home, with school and exams. I remember I was taking my driving exam that I loved it so much that I took it twice. Well, maybe you're having difficulties in your life today, and something is not going as well as you planned. Well, even in difficult times, we are to have and be in a different spirit. You see, in the New Testament, James reminds his readers that, when my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations or trials or testings. Well, in Nehemiah chapter 12 this morning, there was a different occasion here for giving thanks. You see, God's people were not under persecution. They weren't troubled by their enemies. In fact, they had just completed the rebuilding of the wall of the walls of Jerusalem. But prior to that, the temple was rebuilt. And the dedication of the rebuilt wall of Jerusalem is what we can see as the climax of Ezra and Nehemiah, the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, as well as the climax of Nehemiah's life. You see, there's great joy in great accomplishments. Notice in Nehemiah 12 and verse 43, this word or this term joy appears five times just in one verse. And it tells us there's a connection between joy and gratitude. Verse 43, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. And then, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Well, just as Paul was a preacher and a tent maker, well, my tent making, you can say, is my background in science. When I graduated from high school, there was a great joy. I don't remember how thankful I was in that situation, but after that came university. After 4 years of hard work, that completion gave me great joy. I decided to pursue further education. Again, that completion gave me great joy and thankfulness. 3 years into the workforce, there was more studying to be done or accreditation. And even after that completion, I can say that I was filled with thanksgiving and great joy. Now, what's the lesson here? Well, if you're young and still in grade school, there means there's still more suffering for you ahead. But more importantly, it means that there are going to be many circumstances in our lives, more than we can count or record, that we can be thankful for and be joyful. And some of these accomplishments can be great and small. And here in Nehemiah chapter 12 was a great accomplishment in the rebuilding of the city. The walls, mind you, were just built in 52 days. The temple may not have been in the same splendor as it was in Solomon's days. The walls may not have been as strong, as beautiful as it was in the days of David. Nevertheless, it is a day of thanksgiving and rejoicing because now the city is protected. Now they could come and worship properly. And this marked the last stage in the long process of restoration after the exile, a process which began with the return of the people and the rebuilding of the temple, and it continued with the internal reform on the book of the law, from the book of the law, and now it accumulates into the celebration of this rebuilt and repopulated holy city. Now, this begs the question of us. You know, the majority of us come into a church that is already built. We move into houses that were already built. We immigrate to a country that is already established. But it begs the question, do we really thank God? We can also ask a similar question with regards to church. Why do we go to church? I'm sure there could be many different answers depending on who you ask. Why do we go to church? Why do we go to the house of the Lord? Do we go there to get something? Or do we go there to give something? And of course, you know in Hebrews 10:25 that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The fourth commandment reminds us we are to keep the Sabbath day holy. We gather once a week in church. We come with the purpose of, yes, sitting under God's word. That's something that we receive, but primarily it's the purpose of worshiping God, ascribing worth to God. And an aspect of worship is giving thanks. And so a question we can ask ourselves in the design of a worship service or upon a reflection of a worship service is this. Not what did I receive from it, but what did God receive from it? That's the question we ought to ask. Was God worshipped? Did we give thanks to God? In John 4:23, this is the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. Well, Jesus said there, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers. This tells us that there are false worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is seeking true worshipers. God is seeking those who are there to worship and to give thanks. The Father seeketh such to worship him. And that is what the people did. They came to worship and they came to give thanks. Again, Remember that one group walked upon the wall heading south, the other group walked north in the other direction, and I do not think it's a coincidence that when we read that they met in the middle, they met in the house of God. Back in Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 40, it says, "So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I, Nehemiah, and half of the rulers with me." And so they met in the house of God to give thanks. And giving thanks is the emphasis of this chapter. If you look quickly with me at verse 24, it says, "The chief of the Levites, Sherebiah, Jeshua, the son of Kadmiel, with their brethren over against them, to praise and give thanks." And then in verse 27, "At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps." Then in verse 40, "So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I, the half of the rulers, with me." Then in verse 46, it says, "For in the days of David and Asaph of old, they were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God." Well, one thing is clear here is that this is a day of thanksgiving and dedication. It was not something that had to do with national pride. It's not something to do with individual promotion, and that's why they're having this celebratory event. This was a day of rejoicing in God's great work and God's great power. And this is one thing we should increase in more and more. I say this because we can often be a complaining people. You see, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, they found themselves in a state of complaining and murmuring. They were a bitter people, even though they were saved from the captivity of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, the Passover Lamb. And very often, we can be in a very similar nature. Often, we find ourselves in this same state. I've even heard people complain that they complain too much. "I know I complain too much, but..." And so we are quick to complain about our battles. We're more quick to complain about our battles than we are to count our blessings. And we ought not to be so. We ought to be a believer marked with thanksgiving. And so this morning I want us to notice a couple things. Firstly, notice the appropriateness of thanksgiving. The appropriateness of thanksgiving. You'll remember the story of the 10 lepers. We just read it earlier in Luke chapter 17. Again, Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem and he came across 10 lepers. The lepers there begged for mercy. Jesus, in response, tells the 10 lepers to go to see the priests, and as they go, they were healed. And we know that only one of the lepers came back to thank Jesus. 9 of them did not return. Well, these 9 lepers would not be found on this day of thanksgiving and dedication in Nehemiah chapter 12 if they were there that day, if they lived in that period. You see, the people had so much to be grateful for. And as we've been learning in the book of Nehemiah, the things that took place in this book, we can surely say that God has done great things for them. When you think of it, God raised up one man, not one man that so happened to just be walking by Jerusalem and he said, "Well, this is a great investment property and I should just pour some money into it to make it a great city." Nor did he raise up one man that saw that this was a hobby for him to take up, but he raised up a man that was miles away, that had a compassion for God's people so that they may no longer be in a reproach. You see, these people, they were content, perhaps, in their reproach. They were content in their current estate. But there is also a cause for praise, not only because God raised up Nehemiah with a desire to do God's work, but God also did a mighty work in the hearts of those people. Again, these people were content in their current situation. They were content with their sub optimal situation and circumstances. Yet, when Nehemiah arrived, it sparked a revival. It stirred up the people so that they had a resolve to do God's work. Today, we ought to be thankful for those that God has stirred up to do this work. I'm thankful that this church is not a one-man show. I'm especially thankful that God has not filled this church with spectators, but people to do God's work. And thanksgiving and praise was appropriate because God has stirred up the people to do his work. But it was also appropriate because it involved the mighty power of God in the building of the walls. Again, amidst the threat of invading armies, the walls were rebuilt in 52 days. God subdued their enemies so that the gates could be replaced, the city could be secured. It was the good hand of God that ensured the rebuilding of the city. Now we can turn this around to us for a moment to ask this question. Do we not have a greater reason to gather with triumphant praise on a Sunday morning? Now, forget that we don't have Holy Communion every so often. Forget that we don't have a resident pastor. Forget that we don't have everything that some other churches have. But we have a greater reason to be thankful for. Just think upon what Christ did for us. God had appointed Christ to be our Savior. God has also moved our hearts and renewed our will by the Holy Spirit. And in times of distress, God has subdued our enemies to give us victory in our circumstances of life. And often we complain, we can murmur, and we lose sight of what God has accomplished for us. So if you're looking for a reason to give thanks to God, look no further than his mercy and his loving kindness. Let us remember what Christ has done, and when we do, we will find every reason in the world to come to triumphant thanksgiving. So there is the appropriateness of thanksgiving. Notice as well the approach of their thanksgiving, and there are several aspects of this contained in this chapter. In verse 27, it says there is the preparation by the people. The dedication of the wall, verse 27, the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving, with singing, with cymbals, psaltery, and with harps. Well, what was done here? Well, Levites were sought out in their duties on that day of thanksgiving because they were qualified to do so. And so it teaches us firstly that our approach to thanksgiving and to worship should not be, you know, free and easy in the sense that we allow anyone and everyone to do as they feel on that day. We ought to have qualified people for certain tasks. When we have a church, back in the day, we used to have like a church transportation shuttle. One of the requirements, of course, would be that you have a driver's license. You're legal to drive. Musicians should have a background in music training so that they're able to play. Why should elements of worship be any different? But notice as well the preparation by the people. They sought out Levites. There's a preparation leading up to the day of dedication and thanksgiving. You know, I find it a great joy to be a worship leader because you get to choose the hymns. Now, this is not a license to choose all your favorite hymns, but it's thankful because we can be thankful because we can select hymns to reinforce the sermon for that morning. Likewise, for the musicians, there is preparation in what you will play for the prelude and for the offering and how you play it because little do you know is the way you play, the tone and the mood, it plays a critical role in moving the people, the congregation, to sing. You know, my favorite hymn is 335, "And Can It Be," and the words of which I pray all Christians can relate to move them in their hearts. But I remember one time there was a pianist that played this, and we weren't singing at the time, but just the way he played it, the mood and the tone, it just hit my heart that it caused me to cry. Likewise, you'll know when, I know there's a time when Sister Rebecca plays Because He Lives. That's my favorite hymn that she plays. The way she plays it triumphantly, just in line with the words of that hymn. You see, there's an approach, or their approach involves preparation. Whether you're serving as a musician, whether you're even preparing to come to worship and sit in that service, when you come to worship and give thanks, there must be preparation. Not only is there preparation of the people, notice the purifying of the people, specifically the priests and the Levites. In verse 30, it says the priests, the Levites, purify themselves, purify the people, the gates, and the wall. You know, when you go to a restaurant and you find that your fork or your cup is dirty, what do you do? Well, you flag down the waitress or the waiter, and you expect that it will be replaced with a new cup, a clean cup, and a clean utensil. Likewise, the psalmist says in Psalm 24 and verse 3, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands and a pure heart." Well, we cannot come to God in thanksgiving as dirty vessels. Holiness is essential for worship. And so we too need to come to worship and thanksgiving with clean hands and a pure heart, because God is a holy God. And then notice in verse 42, in their thanksgiving, the singers sang loudly. Messiah, Shemaiah, Eliezer, Uzi, Johohanan, and Micaiah, Alam, and Ezer, the singers sang loud, and Jezahiah for their overseer. For those of us that went to Batam on that mission trip in 2007, you'll remember that one woman that sang loudly in the back, louder than all 100 other people that were there. Her vocal strength was stronger than all of us. She overpowered us. She wasn't yelling, but she sang loudly. You see, believers have every reason to sing aloud. And then we also see how they showed their thankfulness in their giving of sacrifices. In verse 43, it says, "That day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also, the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off." Here, this word "great" does not denote it was like a great gift in magnitude, but it was great in number. Or not great in the quality, but great in the number. There was a great number of sacrifices in their thanksgiving service. You see, all these, their preparation, their purification, their singing, their offering, shows what it means to us as an example, what it means to be a thankful people. So are we a thankful people today? Can we come, as the psalmist says, into his house with thanksgiving in our hearts? You see, there is going to be a great time of rejoicing when our Savior returns. But that's not the only time of rejoicing and thanksgiving. We today, presently, can give thanks for many things. As the hymn that we just sung, "Count Your Many Blessings, See What God Has Done." In that, we can already make a list and give thanks to God. And more importantly, we can give thanks to God for His finished work on the cross. And so may this encourage us to be a thankful people. We come into this church that's already built. We live in a country where we have the freedom to worship. We are given many blessings in life. Often in this fast-paced world, sometimes we just need to take a moment to pause and to reflect and be thankful for the things that God has blessed us with. And so may we be found to be a thankful people and a joyful people as well. Let us pray. Our Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We also thank you for you have been very merciful and gracious toward us, that you have showered your blessings upon our lives. Many things that are seen and unseen. And so we pray, dear Lord, that we will be ever grateful to you. We will first turn to you, knowing that you are the source of these great blessings, and that we will, through our testimony and spirit of thanksgiving, be heard afar off, so that others may know that there is a spirit of thanksgiving in this world of darkness, in the circumstances of life that may appear to be troubling and stressful, that we, with this spirit of thanksgiving and joy, can be a testimony and a witness for you. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.